Praise God. Let's turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8. The book of Romans, in chapter 8, verse 22 onwards. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together unto now. And not only they, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. And then we go down to verse 26. Likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And we realize that Romans chapter 8, verse 28 is a very popular verse with many Christians, where when something happens, they always say, all things work together for good, all things work together for good. But it is not an unconditional promise, it's a conditional promise. There are conditions attached to the promise. Not all things work together for good, but all things work together for good, provided people love God and they are called according to His purpose. And besides that, notice that verse 28, the first word there is the word "and." And. That ties it to the verse before that. So we cannot, in a sense, read it as a verse by itself, although there's a full stop in verse 27. We should read it all together, verse 27 and 28, and then we get a full meaning. Remember that the full stops are generally good, right? We won't say it's not good, generally good, and the scripture verses and the chapter divisions are generally good. Sometimes they seem to miss the wrong place, seem to end at the wrong place. And because the person who did that full stop did it, you know, day and night, and some of those full stops were done while he was on a horse, on a chariot. So when he was traveling and marking it down, and once in a while the horse might jump, and we have another additional full stop in the wrong place. And this is one of those few places where I wish there was no full stop there. And in the original Greek, there's no full stop in the whole Bible, in the whole New Testament. It just goes on and on. You just got to read and try to determine which part attached to which part. Let's look at verse 27 and 28 together. Read it, please, as one sentence, not as two. It says, now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. In other words, that it's unless there are intercessions made for or brought forth, there will be nothing that will work out for good. And we realize that when something happens, it doesn't automatically work for good. Whatever. It is only when prayer comes forth, when prayers are brought to God, that whatever those things are, notice all things, question is, what are those things? All things. Now the things is not just a general word, things. It refers to whatever goes before the verses that are previous to that. And the only possibility is in reference to the intercessions that are made. Because the word intercessions is in a neuter word. So therefore it will follow on with things. The things that we have interceded about. All things. All that we interceded about. All that we have prayed about. All that we are lifted up unto God. And so that promise is only true when there is prayer involved. Whether you praying for somebody and a situation starts working for good, or you praying for yourself, And we realize that this is a powerful promise of God, that in spite and despite whatever has happened, if there's enough intercessors, if intercession is made, we can cause things to work out for good, no matter what, and by the grace of God. So we see here that the things can refer back to the intercessions that we bring forth unto God. And any intercessor realizes that you cannot intercede for something effectively unless you carry a burden for it. The most effective intercession can only be done as a result of carrying a burden unto the Lord. We must receive a burden from the Lord. When we say a burden, we're talking about a prayer burden. We're not talking about receiving problems into your life. We're talking about receiving burdens from the Lord in your spirit man. Your spirit man, five sensations of the spirit man. If you heard the tape on the five sensations of the spirit man, the first sensation is tenazo, which is translated as groaning in Romans 8 verse 23. And all those other verses on groaning in Romans 8. It's from the word stenazo, the Greek word stenazo, that talks about a heavy intercession that comes forth from within. And we need to experience a kind of burden before we can move into the depths of intercession. And by that we realize there are degrees of intercession. It doesn't mean that it has to be the heavy kind. There are degrees of prayer burden. Just as there are degrees of anointing. There are degrees and levels of anointing, ministry anointing. We realize that does happen. There are even degrees of anointing as you minister. And so there are also degrees of prayer burden that God placed. Sometimes it's just a tiny little burden. Sometimes it's a heavy one that causes you to be sleepless and to lose your appetite, and all you want is just to spend your time in prayer with God, and you can't even do anything else if it gets very heavy. But if it's the light type of intercessory burden, prayer burden that God gives, sometimes it gets ignored. Why? Because we just not careful to pay attention to some of the things in our spirit. Our spirit man is signaling to us. And the Greek word stenazo has been translated in many other ways that will help us to understand what the burden feels like. What the burden is like in its experience. Let's look in the book of James. Book of James, chapter 5, verse 9. This is an odd translation, but let me read it also. Notice in verse 9, do not grumble against one another, brethren. Lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Interesting thing is that the word grumble is the word stenazo. Same word translated as groan in Romans chapter 8 verse 23. Now if you put the word groan there, it conveys some meaning. Right? Although the word groan is never used as a verb but always used as a noun. Sometimes you cannot help it. We just want to convey something. Just like the word faith is a noun in the English language and not a verb. That means it's not an action word. But in the Greek, the word faith is both a verb and a noun, which we sometimes have. In the English language, some words become verbs as well as nouns. And like the word rain is a noun and it's a verb. Right, it rains, it's an action. Right, it's raining cats and dogs. Or and then we say, we say that there's rain. So there's a noun. So in the Greek, there are some words that are both nouns and verbs. And the word belief actually is from the word faith. Pisteo. The word faith is from the word pistis. And then we realize that it's the same root word. And when the in the Greek, when they say believe in God, they are saying faith in God. Faith in God. They're talking about the same thing. And here the word groan is used in its verb form. So, pardon the English language, but to convey the meaning of stenazo, let's use it like a verb. And you see here in verse 9, do not groan against one another. Eh? The word groan is also a verb. Yeah, not bad. Didn't realize that until I was teaching it. Do not groan against one another, brethren. Rather, do not cause a groan on one another. Do not cause a burden on one another. And that's talking about a groan or a burden from a different perspective. Now let's look at one more verse to see its translation, and then we will go on from there. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 1 is clearer though. And we're going to use the Hebrews translation to explain James 5, verse 9. Verse 17, Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, so that would be unprofitable for you. For that would be unprofitable for you. Notice that the word grief is the word stenazo. So if we take the word grief and put it upon James 5 verse 9, it conveys a better meaning. Do not cause grief to one another. And I like the way that Hebrews expresses it. A prayer burden senses like a grief inside you. If you pull that word further, it conveys sorrow, sadness, burden. Right? Now, we know what the emotional soul feeling of sorrow is like. We know what it feels like, the physical and soul aspect of sorrow, when you are grieved. It has a certain sensation on your soul. Now, the spirit sensation is a little bit like that, but it's different in that it's inside and not just outward. Where you outwardly you could be normal, your mind is peaceful, your body is relaxed and calm. There is no physical circumstances or events or crises that may be causing you to be in grief or sorrow. In fact, you could be at the happiest state in life, and yet suddenly there can come this grief in the spirit, which is a prayer burden. And I know some people who misinterpret grief. When they sense grief, they think that it's the other fellow who is wrong, you know, and that the other person, something wrong with them. No, not necessarily so. There is a grief, there is a prayer burden. A prayer burden that arises from our spirit man and intercession. When you experience the spiritual realm of grief, it does not mean that there's something wrong with you or something wrong with somebody else. Please don't misunderstand that. For example, you could be with certain people. Doesn't mean that when you're just sensing grief that it must be them. See, the mind is very smart to misinterpret things. It's very fast to jump to conclusion. And when I mix with people who jump to conclusions all the time in their mind to interpret the things of their spirit, they miss a lot, and the thing is that they hurt a lot of people, and the other thing is they think they're very spiritual. But they're missing it because some of their interpretations don't confirm to my spirit. So no, they're missing it. Anything from the spirit will strike a resounding chord in your spirit. And so don't jump to it. I've learned not to jump to it. When I begin to move into that, I make the same mistakes too. Because Your mind quickly gives a reason. It's very quick to reason. Very quick to say, it must be this. It must be that. Right? The moment you receive a grief, let's say you're in a serious situation, you will think there is something in that situation. Not all the time. Sometimes it's something far away that the news haven't got to you yet. And each time, like when things happen in my hometown in JB, when anything in my family, I always, without fail, get a prayer burden. But I don't know what is going on sometimes. And sometimes I'm already working on a situation and concern on certain things, and a spiritual project or something that I'm doing. And then the grief comes because your mind, your energy and everything is occupied on that project. You think that that grief has to do with that. Your mind is on automatic gear and it's very clever at giving reason. So don't just listen to the reasonings of your mind. Put it on freehold. Don't jump. The voice of the mind and the voice of the spirit is different. And so just pray, intercede. And then sometimes later on the news gets to me. Then I realize, hey, it had completely nothing to do with it. It was that. And the spirit was conveying to my human spirit, but my mind never had a thought about that thing, anything happening in my hometown at all. And in fact, I pray for them from time to time, but I was not even thinking of anything like regard to that. And just because the mind never thought on those areas, we think the grief, you know, is on the areas we have been working on thinking of. The grief that you receive in your spirit may have nothing to do with your situation, you know, that you've been working on for a week or 2 weeks or a month. It may come from a fresh area that the spirit is conveying. Otherwise, how can the Bible say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding? See, there are many times when we receive in the spirit which we don't receive our mind until later. Right? So try not to be a smart aleck and, you know, with your mind instant at that. Even the most experienced, let me tell you, the most experienced or spiritual man cannot tell it straight away at times on the grief area. Because God keeps it from them. Just like Elisha, there are some things God keeps it from him, but there are some things that God revealed that Gehazi thought that these are one of the things God keeps, but it was not, and Gehazi got into problem. You realize that? And even the most spiritual and the most godly of men and women who walk closely with God, God would not all the time operate, you know, that way. God will let it bubble forth. See, God wants us to learn to intercede in the Spirit. Otherwise, Romans 8 verse 26 will not be true. It says, we do not know. Now, if you say you do not know, then we do not know. What's a big fuss? Romans 8 verse 28, for we know it not what to pray. If we know what to pray, then what's the big fuss? It says, we know it not what to pray, so that Romans 8 verse 26 can come to pass. Where there are some things God put in our spirit that our mind do not comprehend yet. And it may have nothing in relation to what we are doing at all. Nothing at all. And so sometimes we think the first few thoughts on that area, and we say, God, what is it? And shoot, the few thoughts come, we think that it's the answer. Not that way. Because some of those come from our own mind. Because our mind trains to echo from our resources of data, just like punching a computer key, and you can get some data out. So we must remember that there are some areas where God wants intercession to flow forth first. And that's what we are doing tonight, that we want to understand what this prayer burden is. We cannot be effective intercessors until we pray through. And this is what we must do. Whenever we receive a grief or groaning in the spirit, one of the first mistakes people do is they try to understand, then they try to pray. They do it the wrong way, putting the cart before the horse. Poor horse. Imagine trying to move with a cart in front of you. Right? I would rather walk backwards. Right? It's the wrong way. Completely wrong. And what we must do is not jump to the conclusion yet, not ask our mind to quickly think of something, think of a reason before praying. That's what most people do when they receive a burden and agree. They're trying to reason, rationalize, get some knowledge. When the Bible says, you know not what to pray, just pray. Say, but I don't know how to pray. Pray in tongues. What's the purpose of tongues? Right? To pray beyond the realm of the understanding. So the first thing to do when we receive a burden, and what does that burden feel like? It sends sometimes like a grief, a sadness, a scratchiness, a shaking inside, a sensation of pressure inside, and it can be varying in degrees, and it can be very heavy until it feels like a cut inside. And so these are phrases which we try to describe what the grief can be like to your life, and we could pick it up. And the thing is that it does not always come at the time that you want it to come, and at the time that you want it to come, it doesn't come. At the time you don't want it to come, it comes. For the times that we need to pray are not as organized as we would like it to be. No doubt we should be quite disciplined and organized and set a time for God. But intercessory burden cannot be organized. It comes as a spirit will in the light of the situation and a spiritual battle that's going on in the spirit realm. And there are times when it comes on you in the midst of work. And right in the middle of your work. And that's the time I wish it doesn't come. I would rather it come when I'm in my prayer closet. And on Friday overnight, no problem. That's the time to pray. In the middle of my work, when I'm working on something, and it comes, I mean, to be obedient, you got to drop it. It depends on what level. So if it comes in the middle of my work, I will begin to pray in tongues. And do some work. Because there's work to be done. Right? There's a lot of work to be done. And so I would pray. But the thing is, it does not go off sometimes that way. Sometimes it does. Those not so heavy type, it does go off. You manage to carry the burden to the Lord in prayer, in intercession. So you just pray. You don't try to understand what it is. You just pray. While you do your work. You just bring it before the Lord. And sometimes when I have done that, this happens. When you're praying, you lift off. You say, it's lifted off. And then you continue. Then sometimes you creep back. Come back again. And you say, Lord, what is this? I say, it's not finished yet. Okay, part two. Why you still doing the work? And then it lifts off. As long as you're praying, it lifts off. Then it lifted, you say, wow. Now, how do you know it lifted? There is that joy inside your spirit, that lightness, that flow. For me, it's like the warming of the heart in Luke 24 that they experience. And like it's gone through. And it doesn't come again. And suddenly, 45 minutes later, it comes in again. Say, Lord, what is this? And sometimes, that kind of burden comes and goes throughout the whole day. And even sometimes after you pray, and you found the time to pray an hour on that, and you pray, you really give it. Like some of you here tonight. You really give it in the spirit realm. And you finish, wow, you feel so nice. You feel so nice. Peace in the spirit. Joy in the spirit. 2 hours later, comes again. Lord, what is this? And sometimes when I explain it so much, honestly, I'm very honest with God. I say, Lord, are there any other intercessors? I say, Lord, how about sharing it with some other intercessors too? And let me honestly tell you, sometimes it comes at 2 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I say, Lord, I'm working that hard. I need my sleep. I know you will sustain me. But Lord, sometimes I say, aren't there any other intercessors? You know, why? Why of all persons, you bring it to me, it comes. I do regular office work, I do ministry work at night, there's completely no time. If I don't budget a time for my family, I will be gone. I have to budget a time for my family, which I do. So, say, Lord, aren't there any intercessors? That's the reason for this message. They are, but they're not obedient. And the burden comes, they are not enough to carry it sometimes. And sometimes the burden could be, you see, the burdens that the Lord gives us are, it has to do with His kingdom. His kingdom, the things that are important to God. So let's say there's a spiritual battle going on. And for the angels to interfere, they will need enough prayer to give them permission to interfere, to work things out for the good of God's people. So when they want to, they need more prayer, the Holy Spirit sends a signal. Zap, 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 zap. Right? To about 2, 4, 6 people. So all receive a prayer by then. And right? All receive a prayer by then. So the prayer by then could be that same item is divided among 6 people. Right? It doesn't feel so heavy. Now, there is a law in the spirit that is quite similar to a law in the natural. Let's say this tiny little stage here, this is a mini stage for the video camera. It's heavy, but if there are sufficient men, we could carry that. If we share the load. Right? And So, if one person tries to carry this, you see, right, not that easy, right, not as easy as it is. There's a lot of wiring underneath. But if we have enough men, we could jack it up and carry it. And it may take twice as many ladies. But if we share the physical burden, it does not feel that heavy. Because the weight is distributed out. But if one guy has to carry it, or maybe let's say we start with about, you know, 8 men carrying it. And as these 8 men carry, halfway 2 needs a break. So they go off. The 6 feel it heavier now. Then as they're carrying it to another place halfway, another 2 quit. 4 guys left. Then as they go along, another 2 quit. Boom! You know, 2 guys down there, they're literally dragging on the floor, scratching the floor. It's heavy. Now, sometimes in the spirit realm is like that. There's something urgent that God requires, and the spirit quickly, you know, gets intercessors. He goes, 6 guys. 6 people. He puts a prayer burden. Right? You sense it. You could sense it on a light stage. And it's not so heavy that you could just do it while you're working. Right? At a light stage you can. So what do you do at that time? Straight away pray in tongues. Whether you're in the car, working or whatever, pray softly. Now by light, I mean, you know, you will feel be able to pray quietly. Right? I don't mean you have to, you know, if you're in a Christian office, praise God, that's the best atmosphere, right? Who understand, not all Christians understand also. You're a Christian office and You get it, right? I'm sure if any of the staff in our office get it, you know, we wouldn't mind and hear them praying while they're typing. Or looking at the computer. Right? I love the sound of prayer. Right? Nothing fuels me more than prayer. I love to hear people pray. And but if you're in a unbeliever's office, you know, just be very discreet. Right? You don't suddenly do right in the middle of your work there. But why I say that somehow the Holy Spirit still sometimes puts a burden on you. So we learn to pray softly. We develop the skill how to pray softly. And like Vernon Falls, he has that. But he prays very soft. I only hear the teeth grinding a bit. And that was when I was sharing how one day he was in my car, and as I pay attention closely, I hear a sound. And wondering what was wrong with my car. And after I dropped him, I checked everything, you know, looks okay. And then I used the car for the day and say, there's nothing wrong, there's no sound. Then the moment I pick him up the next day, there comes this sound again. And I checked my ears carefully and I realized it was coming from his direction. Then look carefully, you know, he did it in such a way you wouldn't notice. I looked carefully at him and I saw his jaw moving. You know, like the cow chewing cut, but not so obvious. And I said, "Brother Vernon, you're bringing tongues." I said, "Yes." I said, "It sounds like my car." I said, "I thought it was my car giving problems, you know, making funny sounds." I realized it's you bringing tongues, right? And so sometimes I pick some of his students. Guess what? They pray the same sound. And but when I pray softly, you wouldn't even know it. Right? Different jaw. And but I would pray softly whenever that light burden comes. But this is what happens sometimes when the Spirit gives a light burden to six. Three don't obey. So the burden gets heavier on the other three. Why didn't God give the others? And this is a strange thing. Because sometimes, and it seems that we can only pray within the dispensation that we open ourselves to. Let me describe what it's like. Like, for example, if you have no contact or knowledge of certain things, it's very unlikely that you move into prayer in that area. Very unlikely. I'm talking about normal Christians first. I'm not talking about intercessors yet. Right? I'm going to talk about that afterwards. When you begin to move into high-level intercession, you could be used by God to pray for anything under the sun. Even things that you have no knowledge of, God's Spirit will just bring it to you. You know? Maybe for, missionary who is being attacked by a polar bear in the North Pole. Right? You don't know the missionary, you don't know who he is, you don't know anything about polar bears, but the burden drops on you and you're praying, right? You may see a vision of a bear or whatever. So you start intercession. So when you move into high level intercession, you could be an instrument to pray over anything. But under the normal flow of believers, the burden to pray on any subject never goes beyond our realm of experience or enlargement in our spirit and in our Christian life. Unless you have some knowledge in the area imparted to you. Even intercessors, it's because they develop their spiritual capacity. So, for example, if the only way, for example, that you could ever think or it can come to you to pray for missionaries is you have heard about missionaries before. Otherwise, you would never be used by God to pray for them. The only way you could be used by God, for example, to pray over your family is more likely when something happens to your family or your kinsfolk, your uncles, your grand aunt, and your great grand aunt. The most likely person to have the burden is you and not me, who don't know your great grand aunt, right? Obviously. And of course, the most obvious person to receive a prayer burden when something happens to your, something is needing in prayer to your husband or to your wife, is obviously you. God will not choose me as the first person. Remember that. Now, as my responsibility is to be the under shepherd for the church, so sometimes there are things in the general body that God puts on me. But the principle I'm pointing to here is, it's very unlikely for the Holy Spirit to give you something that you have no experience in and you're not involved in or you're not knowledgeable of the circumstances. It's very unlikely. God's Spirit puts it according to our level of experience and according to our level of relationship. Like because of my relationship with fellow pastors, if something happens to them, I may get the burden rather than you. Right? But if you know them in some way through their writing, through their books or through their tapes, you may get a burden for them too. Right? So that's how it operates. Now, when I need more prayer, God will wake some of you up if you know me, whether by sight or by name. It's possible. But what I mean is the context. It's very unlikely that God would suddenly wake you up and pray for Mr. Tanakushiba in Nigeria, who you do not know about. Very unlikely. The only possibility of God doing that is when you move into what I call high level intercession. But normal level, the high level intercession is what I call a special grace and a special anointing of God, where you have a special ministry as a worldwide intercessor. You walk the spiritual air of the earth, seeking on whom you may pray for. No, not seeking whom you may devour, okay? Different quotation, alright? Seeking whom you may pray for. You walk the air of the earth, looking for areas to intercede for. And you're quite disciplined in praying for different countries. And I found that even moving into that intercessory special call and ministry, you move into it gradually, you start by learning to pray for different countries generally. And then through time, it catch on you. And you move into that realm. So God would never, under general circumstances, give a burden on you that you would never contact, have knowledge of, experience, or be in relationship to. God would, though, give you something that you have a relationship to. Although sometimes when we receive those burdens, we are not sure because we got so many areas of relationship. We are not sure which area. But you can be aware the next time you receive a burden that it has something that you have a part, a very significant part you must do. And remember this, you have it and you don't do it, somebody else will end up doing your work. Because it has to be done. Somebody has to do overtime because you took leave. The work still needs to be done in a prayer area. So be aware of these prayer burdens that God would give. And there are different types of burdens, different types of cases. So we have mentioned how it's important to have the burden, understand the burden, not try to figure out the burden. That's what most people do. They try to figure out, this is what happened. Let's say, right? Let's say God gives me a burden of prayer for my brother. But I don't know him. I may have met him once or twice. And God gives me a prayer burden for him. But I have been doing a lot of work with her. And the burden drops on me. And my interpret is here. And this is what happened. Most people try to understand, then they intercede. They don't intercede, then they understand. So what happened is, consciously, because I interpret that burden to be, maybe her life is in danger. Maybe there's something wrong with her. Maybe she needs my prayer. Maybe she just needs extra area of prayer. When actually it's him. Now this is what happened. I began to concentrate or direct my intercession for her. Because our mind has the ability to direct. How do we direct our intercession? By an action, a word, or visualizing. Like we could say, Father God, I now pray for Indrashan. Right? So I'm directing my intercession on her. And or I could write down her name and then direct it to her. Or I could lay a hand on a photograph. Or I could think about her and pray. That there are many ways of directing. Or if she's here, I could stretch out my hand and pray for her. Or lay hands and pray for her. Right? I'm directing the prayers. Now, as we talk about this, it does not mean that you pray for something only when the burden comes. Right? I'm talking about one aspect of prayer, the burden. Effective intercession. Sometimes, if you are a disciplined prayer, like I have intercessors in my ministry, and I encourage people to take, 50 minutes or so every day to pray for me in the ministry, it does not mean that every time you look at my photograph, you get burdened. Ayo. Then you got to pray, right? No, not that way. Then, no, what you do is you just lay hands on it and direct it. And as you pray, you may receive certain burdens, or you may not, or you may receive joy in the Lord, but just pray anyway. Right? That is, what I call this intercession under the discipline side. Right? So don't lose sight on that too, right? There's an aspect of ministry there. We are talking about what to do when the burdens come, the other aspect of it. How to interpret it, how to flow with it. And so, example, the burden come for him and I'm praying for her, directing at her. You know what happened? I can pray for 2 hours and it won't leave. But if I had directed it and just let my mind be switched off for a moment, not try to understand, and just say, Lord, and this is what I sometimes do. Say, Lord, I'm not sure what that burden is right now. But whatever it is, take my tongue and lips and intercede for me. Free gear. Let it roll. And it goes on. And it leaves off faster. It may leave off within half an hour. But if I try to direct it, it does not leave off. Why? Wrong item. Wrong direction. And so, like for example, in the natural, there is much work that is allocated for everyone to do. In your office, you may have, each one has a particular work. Now, if one department fails in one area, it may affect the other department in their workload. And so, sometimes one department needs help, and people doesn't move here to help, and there's a plea for more workers on this area. But you didn't go to the right department, you go to another department. And you keep working there. Do you know that burden in your department will never go off? It will be there until it is handled and solved. So we realize that if we try to interpret the burdens, it will never go off. Because we are directing our prayers in all directions. Like a wild shooter. We all have the weapons of the Spirit. And we have the weapons of God. And So our prayers are like our spiritual ammunition. So we carry our spiritual submachine gun and shoot our prayers. And so you get a burden. And you don't know what to pray for. And some don't concentrate on their prayer. They just, you know, didn't concentrate and allow their prayer burden to be lifted up. They just go all over until their bullet is spent. And they are spent. And they achieve nothing. And some people, right, the Holy Spirit signal, shoot to the left. They turn to the right. Boom, 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 boom. Wrong direction. What we should do is hang loose. Allow the hands of the Holy Spirit to hold the gun and hold our hand and direct us in whatever direction. Then the burden should lift off faster. That's what we need to do. So if we pray before the understanding, instead of try to understand, then pray, it's more effective. Romans 8 verse 26 words. The burden comes, the groaning, the tenazo comes, you intercede and you pray. Whatever it is. Don't try to understand yet. The understanding comes sometimes after. Sometimes at the end of your intercession, you still don't understand it. But later on, maybe when the answer has come true, few days later or weeks or months, when the answer comes, God may remind you and say, remember that? You interceded. Say, oh, I didn't know, Lord. I didn't realize it was for that. So don't try to understand before intercession. Intercede. Then let the understanding grow into the things of God. See, our soul is lower than our spirit. And we need to allow our spirit not to be hindered by the soul, but to let the spirit go on. In time, our soul will catch up with the spirit, and the spirit should lead the way, and our soul should follow. Our soul will follow and gain some understanding of the things of God, and we can go deep into intercession. Praise God. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we praise you and thank you that as we yield our spirits and souls and bodies to you as instruments, that you would take a hold of our spirit man and place your intercessory burdens upon our lives so that we could lift it up before you. We thank you, Father, that you have given us a privilege. What a privilege to work together with you. Now, unless your people pray, that you would not have the permission, nor your angels have the permission, to interfere in the affairs of our lives, to wrought good and victory for your people. So, Father, we yield ourselves and our whole beings tonight to you as instruments. You will take a hold of us and intercede through us and wrought mighty works through our lives tonight, Father. And in your mercy and by your grace, help us to understand a little at a time what we intercede. But we will be faithful to intercede even though we don't understand all things, and allow the burden to be lifted out from us unto your throne of grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Let's rise together. Hold the prayer item in your hands the whole night until the end of the night when we request for them. Praise God. Hallelujah is the prayer answering God. Hallelujah is the prayer answering God. For we pray in Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah is the prayer answering God. Hallelujah is the prayer answering God. Hallelujah is the prayer answering God. Oh, we pray in Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah is the prayer answering God. Ramahashiri anaramah.